Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's been an amazing morning already. The Lord is obviously here because we've had what the Bible describes as church, one person, the contribution that's meant to happen when believers get together. You know, we saw some of that this morning, and I pray that we have more of that whenever we get together. Because it's not about one person leading worship, one person speaking, one person giving the announcement. It's about all of us bringing something into the mix whenever we're together. The Spirit of God, the Bible tells us, is given to each person for the good of everyone. So the Spirit of God moves through each one of us for the good of everybody. And we saw a little bit of that today. And I pray that we see more of it whenever we get together. Amen. So this morning, the Lord actually challenged me on Thursday. So the message I have this morning relates to a challenge the Lord gave me on Thursday. I was attending an online prayer meeting. And during that meeting, he, as he often does, he spoke part of a scripture to me, the essential part, which is give yourself entirely. That's what he said. He said, give yourself entirely. So I went to look for it in Timothy, and he really spoke to me through that, and that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. But before we start, let's have a look at Galatians 2. 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is Paul's testimony. It is no longer I who lives, it's Christ who lives in me. Now, this is the testimony potentially of every believer, which means it ought to be the testimony of every one of us. Every follower of Christ should be able to say and can say, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the moment you own that as your testimony, it sets you off on a journey of living entirely for Him. There's a lady who sang a song, Helen Baylor, sold out for Jesus. It's something that people used to say a lot in evangelical circles years ago, being sold out for Jesus. And this is the description. This is what Paul is describing here, a life that is totally given over to the Lord to the extent that he says, I have been crucified with him on the cross. The reality is when Jesus came in the flesh and was crucified, flesh was crucified, which means everyone who has flesh was crucified with him. We enter into that reality by believing in him. So what Paul is describing here is not special, is what I'm trying to say. It's what is the provision that Jesus made for every one of us. That life, that crucified life, where the old life is set aside and we're living the new life, which is the life of Christ himself. But there's a way in which this becomes a person's testimony. And that's what we're going to talk about. And the way it becomes a person's testimony and focus and target and what we live for on a day-to-day basis is giving oneself entirely to these things. So let's look at Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is going to be a short one by God's grace. And Paul talking to Timothy, his son in the Lord. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, and it's verses 15 and 16. So Paul says to Timothy, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Then he goes on to say, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And if you think of it, Paul actually wrote this to Timothy. Holy Spirit added it to the body of Scripture for us to know. So what is Holy Spirit saying to us through this thing that Paul said to Timothy? That's what I'd like us to think about. What is Holy Spirit saying to us? Meditate on these things. What things? Obviously, the things that Paul had said beforehand to Timothy. And we could go and read what these things are. But what the Lord was saying to me, which I'm saying to you now, what these things are the things that you have heard over your lifetime of following Jesus. The messages, the truths about Christ that have lodged in your spirit. The truths about who you are in Him, your relationship with Him, His expectations of you, all of those truths that you have received from Christ, those are these things. And He's saying to us, meditate on these things. Think about them, ruminate on them. Don't let them get away. There's a reason why over the years, you know, Amy was telling us that if you are going to capture your journey with the Lord in one word, yours was peace. If you are going to expand it a little bit, perhaps into a few sentences, you will describe a lot more. Well, those things make up these things. The things, the salient point that have distilled into your heart over your journey in Christ, the salient things about Him and about your relationship with Him, your relationship with the Father, and His expectations of you. Those things, we must meditate on them and give ourselves entirely to them. It is essential that we do that in order that we could bear fruit. There is a reason why a certain body of the knowledge of Christ distilled itself into my heart. There's a reason why, you know, when I think about my journey, when I think about what I've learned, a number of things come to my mind over the last 36, going to 37 years. A number of things crystallized in my heart that I could summarize in a paragraph. And He's saying to me, He's saying to us, those things, think about them regularly. Meditate on them and give yourselves entirely to them. So that your progress may be obvious to all. In order for us to make progress in Christ, and He does want us to make progress, in order for us to make progress in Christ, there has to be growth, qualitative growth. We have to become more and more like Him. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That Christ living in me has got to be increasingly evident to the people around me. But for that to happen, I've got to give myself, both in thought and in other ways, entirely to those things. It doesn't just happen by accident. There is a cooperation on our part. So when God gave Franklin that vision, It was an invitation into the heart of Jesus to see something. So the question is, why, Jesus? Why did you show me this? Then the truth of why he showed you this, why he told you this, becomes obvious. Then what do you want me to do about this is what follows if you continue thinking about it. But if you saw the vision and just left it there and you don't think about it, the things that ought to follow will not follow. So you think about it, and then he begins to show you, and then you now hit a wall. My personality, I know you've changed me, but I'm just not the kind of person to go and talk to people. Then he gives you the answer, but it starts with engaging with the truth he's just shown you and thinking about it. And if that truth he's just shown you is uncomfortable, we shouldn't because of that not think about it. Because this life is not about our comfort. It's not about our comfort. And we ought to know also that he is willing to help us with things that we can't do or things that we struggle with. His nature is not to give us something to do and then say, go get along with it. I'll come and mark your paper when you're finished. That's not how it is with him at all. Although we kind of treat it like that, but he doesn't see it like that. He tells us to do things he knows fully well we cannot do without him. And it's an invitation to say, Lord, how do I do this? Or how do we do this? That's actually what will bring joy to his heart. When he tells you to do something you can't do, and you say, Lord, how do we do this? Because that's really what he's after. He's really after him doing something with us, not telling us to do something and we run off to go and do it. He is very, very interactive. He's very relational. He wants to do stuff with us. So, meditate on these things. Give it space in your mind, in your heart. And as you meditate on it and think about it, it will draw you to give yourself entirely to it. It follows from allowing truths to stay in our minds. It follows that it draws more and more and more of our lives into itself, the truth we give our minds to. So Paul said, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them so that your progress may be evident to all. And he said, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. This really rocked me, because the implication of this to my family, for instance, and people who listen to me when I talk about Jesus, the implication of what Paul is saying to Timothy here is that the measure of benefit to which the people who hear me, my children that I'm trying to mentor in the Lord, the measure of benefit they get from that effort is dependent on how I have given myself entirely to it. How much of Jesus will they see in me when I talk about Jesus? Because that's what actually has an impact. A lot of the time, you don't even have to say very much because of what they're seeing. So for the sake of those who hear us, Jesus made a very profound statement. I still don't fully understand it, but he said in John 17, he said, for their sakes, I have sanctified myself, that they also may be truly sanctified. Wow. So Jesus gave himself entirely to the Father so that because of his absolute oneness with the Father, those of us who are one with him will also be one with the Father. So this is the reality of the privilege that we have in relating with people that we have influence over. You know, children, younger ones, friends, anyone that God has given us influence over, even if the influence is just that you have their ears. It's such a privileged position, which means that they get all the benefit of my giving myself entirely to Jesus, to these things that the Lord shows me. Because people will drink continually from the fountains that flow from within you when that fountain is flowing. Jesus told the woman at the well that the water I give you will become in you a well springing forth to everlasting life. That's just not for me. It's for those who will drink of him through me. And these are the reasons why we need to give ourselves entirely to it. And so finally, because I'd like us to spend some time praying, I'm going to read a well-known parable that really describes this. Before I read the parable, it can be tough reading because a lot of the time as we read it, we kind of locate ourselves. But the point that Jesus was making in teaching the parable was to help us move into the right place, not to get us under condemnation. He's never into condemnation. He loves us beyond what we can imagine. And he loved us when we didn't like him. So how much more now that we even, you know, give some time? No, he loves us and he's never, ever, ever condemning. But we're going to read the parable of the sower. And then we're going to pray. So the parable of the sower, I'm going to be reading it from Mark chapter 4 from verse 1. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some seed fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." Now that verse there, verse 12, is a reference to a statement that God made in Isaiah, and is actually talking about the blindness that was going to come on the nation of Israel. So this is not a general statement for all people who hear this. This is a statement specific to Israel at the time that there was going to be a remnant that will come out of Israel, and there will be blindness on the rest of them. And there was a purpose to that blindness. There is a purpose to it. And the blindness is beginning to be removed now in our time. So what you were saying about Israel is very, very timely when we are in those times. But he carried on, verse 13, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? And how then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word, so that the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And when they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. So this parable is taking the example, or taking an example from agriculture. And in those days, people will go around, and the sower, the farmer, will scatter his seed. And inevitably, some will fall on tilled ground, prepared ground. Some will fall on unprepared ground. And the unprepared ground kind of fall into three categories. So the one which represents most people who have not come into the kingdom but have heard about Jesus is the wayside. The wayside, there's been so much traffic. People walking, you know, is on the path. The ground is hard, is untilled. The seed lands on it. It doesn't find any space to look. Birds of the air come, pick it up. It makes little or no impact. And the vast majority of believers are not in that category. The vast majority of people in the church are not in that category. But then there's a category of people who hear the word, and there's not much depth, because there are things in the heart that need to be dealt with. And they hear the word, they respond very quickly. But because of the word they've heard, Satan comes and raises persecution, affliction, all kind of troubles, and they give up immediately. I didn't sign up for this, essentially. A lot of the time they come back, you know, because people pray for them, the issues in the heart get dealt with, the stones get, you know, removed through prayer, through counseling, all of that. The third category is where I believe most Christians are. So the word is sown in our hearts, and then the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, not riches, but the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in. And they don't die, they just become unfruitful. And the example the Lord gave me when I was looking at this, if you've ever been in a corn plantation, or maybe even a wheat plantation, you might see the same thing. I haven't noticed it. But what's on my mind is a corn plantation, the corn plantations that I see in Nigeria. I come from Nigeria. Now, in the middle of the plantation, where the ground has been tilled and prepared by the farmer, the corn plant is thick, the stem is thick, the leaves are big, the ears of corn are big when they're produced. But then there are some outliers. So towards the edge of the farm, you will see more increasing amount of weed. And then beyond the farm, maybe by the roadside, there might be a road or a track with bushes. But then you'll see a few corn growing in those bushes amongst the weed. They're not dead. They're alive. But they're very thin, and they're not fruitful. And the reason is because of the competition that the corn has. The corn is struggling with so many other things And so Jesus is saying here to help us that the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things compete with the word. See, this is why Paul said to Timothy, think about these things. Give yourself entirely to them so that your profiting, your progress may be obvious to all. And a lot of the times we battle with guilt of not achieving, not becoming what we see in our heart. But the reason is because we don't give ourselves entirely to what we see in our hearts. The things that God has communicated to our hearts about us specifically, about me specifically, if I don't give myself entirely to it, if I don't think about it a lot and give myself entirely to it and allow it to draw and consume my whole life, it will not bear fruit. And so we can be in this place where we believe in Jesus, we trust in him, we experience him somewhat. You know, we're not dead, we're just not abundantly fruitful. And the solution is to become like the fourth category, the dedicated ground. You see, the farmer dedicates a piece of ground when he wants to plant his crop. He removes the weed, he removes the stones and all of those things to ensure there's no competition with the seed. The ground is dedicated to the seed. The ground is given entirely to this particular crop. And then the crop yields plenty of fruit. It multiplies. And so, this is not something for us to feel condemned about. Far from it. In our desire to be fruitful for Jesus, he's helping us by saying to us, give yourself entirely to these things. These things he's whispered into our hearts, the truths about us and our relationship with him, the peculiarities about us and our relationship with him. He wants us to give ourselves entirely to those things so that a time will come when you don't even have to say to someone, the Lord is doing this in my life, because it'll be obvious. Your progress will be obvious to all. I'd like us to pray. And what I would like us to do when we pray is I'd like us to think about the cares that trouble our hearts. The cares of this world, the cares, the things that trouble our hearts. Then I'd like us to think also about the other desires that compete with the desire to be Christ-like. Those desires, they're not wrong desires. Okay, they're not wrong desires. It's just that in order for them to find their proper place, Jesus has got to have everything. So in order that, you know, my desire, for instance, to provide for my family, in order for it to have its proper place, my desire to mentor my, you know, they're now men and they have their own homes, but, you know, in order for me to the desire to do that will only be correctly expressed when my heart is fully sold out to Jesus. Because a practical example on that front actually is that there's a situation with our oldest son where I really wanted to talk to him about something. And instead of doing that, just because the Lord had taught me to talk to him first about people before talking to them about him, So I spoke to the Lord and I asked him for an opportunity And I just held it, and then he reached out to me to talk about the issue, and and he and his wife, and I was able to talk to them. But the point is that with a heart that's fully sold out to Jesus, that's living for him exclusively, it is that heart that is best prepared to actually serve people. Because you won't be serving them from the limitations of your humanity. You'll be serving them from the limitless resources of Jesus who lives in you. And so it profits not just us, but everybody around us. It's like when God said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I discovered that that's the safest, that's the best place for your family, because then the quality of love that you give to your wife and children is way beyond the limitations of your humanity when you love God completely. Because they will do things that will ordinarily make you respond in a particular way, but you swallow up that response because of him, because of your love for him. So the benefit really is for everybody around us when we give ourselves entirely without any reservation to him. When we decide to love him unconditionally, just as he loves us. Obviously, the measure of the love, not the measure, the magnitude of the love cannot be the same as his, but the quality can be. We can love him without reservation, just as he loves us without reservation. And we can ask him to help us to get rid of those things in our hearts that get in the way of being entire, being completely given over to him. So again, we're going to think about, as we pray, we're going to think about the things that worry us, the things that concern us, the things that give us anxiety. We're going to think about the desires that we have that compete with the desire to be entirely Christ-like. And we're going to give him all of those things and say, Lord, help my heart to become entirely yours. Help me to give my mind to thinking about these things that you have shown me, that you've been speaking to me in your word. Help me to engage with those things. Okay, so let's pray. So I'd like everyone to make this their response, to pray and really do business with God on this issue, so that by the time we leave here, all those thorns, all those weeds, everything competing with God's word would have been cleared out. So the garden of your heart and my heart will be completely given over to the truth about Jesus and the desire to be like him. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you because you don't condemn us. You love us even as we are. Even those who don't accept you and die in that state, you've just shown us this morning how you continue to love them still. So we have no reason to shy away from you. There's never a reason to run away from you or to hide because of something we're getting wrong. So, Lord, we just come to you as we are. We ask you to turn on the searchlight of your word into our hearts. But we don't want anything to hide. But everything that competes with you in our hearts, We ask you to show it up right now. The worries, the cares, the desires, everything that competes with you. Would you show it up in our hearts so that we can hand them over to you for clearing out? Father, we ask that your spirit will just fill every part of our being. Lord, let him fill every part of our being. Let him occupy everything for Jesus. Holy Spirit, we invite you to occupy us completely. Occupy us completely. Take every room. We dedicate every room of our lives, every part of our lives to you in Jesus' name, so that you can glorify Jesus in us and through us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We were made for this. We were made for this. We were made to be yours, Lord. And we're giving ourselves entirely to you. Entirely. Thank you, Lord. Amen.